Consider for a moment the Israelites in slavery in Egypt. According to Exodus 12:40, the time that the Israelites had lived in Egypt was 430 years. No living person had personal recollection of the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was no Torah. There were no scrolls. There was no Old Testament. The stories they knew were handed down by word of mouth. They had what scholars call an oral tradition. After God delivered them from Egypt, in what is called the Exodus, God, through Moses, gave them the law. Moses wrote the law down for them. The Exodus experience and the gift of the law were defining events in the life of the nation of Israel. God was a Savior and a deliverer through the Exodus from Egypt. God was a lawgiver at Mount Sinai, sometimes referred to as Mount Horeb. It is these defining, mountain-quaking events that Isaiah is referring to at the beginning of today's scripture lesson. While the Israelites were in Egypt, the God they knew was largely what they heard in stories passed down to them. Earth-shattering events were unknown at that point. Then, in the plagues put upon Egypt, the miracles performed by Moses, and the fire and smoke at Mount Sinai, God displays unmistakable signs of power. These signs made God's presence known in very tangible ways. However, those signs were not God. Those signs were glimpses of what God can do. It is natural to want assurances of God's presence. However, as humans, we tend to rely too heavily on those assurances. God, in God's wisdom and love for us, knows that we need times when God's presence is not so obvious. During those times, it is important for us to seek God and to know that God is present despite the lack of tangible evidence, despite the fact that God seems hidden. Christians over the centuries have described a time when it seems that God is hidden from us. The term they use is the dark night of the soul. In summary, they write that in order for us to learn to stand on our own, God allows us to feel like we're alone. God is like the parent who lets go of the child's hand so she can swim across the pool. God is like the father who lets go of the bicycle so his daughter can pedal on her own without training wheels. God is like the mother bird who pushes the baby bird out of the nest so it can feel the wind beneath its wings. It may feel like God is absent. It may feel like a dark night of the soul. However, God is always present. Remember the story of Elijah and the whirlwind? Elijah has performed a mighty act through the power of God by slaying the prophets of Baal. Queen Jezebel is mad at him for slaying her prophets, so she is looking to kill Elijah. Elijah runs away and God sends an angel to feed him. Elijah comes to Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai. And Elijah is told to watch for God. Quote, the angel said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting the mountain and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Elijah has come to the mountain where Moses received the law. Like our passage from Isaiah, Elijah looks for God in the moments of earth-shattering power. But God is not there. Elijah finds God in silence. Like Elijah and like Isaiah, we want God to be revealed in obvious ways. We want God to be the God that we have heard of in stories of power. We want to go to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb and be assured that the God we've heard about is still full of fire and smoke and earth-shattering power. But we do not control how God is revealed to us. Does the clay tell the potter what to do? All too often, our prayer is like that, like the clay telling the potter what to do. We must trust that God has a plan for the clay and that God will mold the clay. There's a saying that God created humankind in God's own image, and we've been returning the favor ever since. As clay, we need to let the potter mold us. As clay, we need to quit trying to mold the potter. Sometimes we even blame God for our unfaithfulness because of God's seeming absence. After all, that's what Isaiah did in the scripture we just read, right? In verse 5, Isaiah says that the people have transgressed because God has hidden God's self. But in verse 8, Isaiah returns to the realization that God is the potter and we are the clay. Quote, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." End quote. God is obviously not a real potter. This is another metaphor. We have a limited ability to express who the infinite God is, so we use our finite language the best we can. The metaphor is a beautiful example of the power of our finite language to express the truth about God. The metaphor does not say everything about God, but it does express truth about God, and in a particularly powerful way at the beginning of Advent. When I think of a potter with clay, I think of the beautiful scene from the 1990 movie Ghost with Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze. The two of them have clay on a potter's wheel and they lovingly mold the clay. As the song Unchained Melody plays, quote, "I need your love, God speed your love to me," end quote. I like to think of God molding us with the same kind of love that is shown in that movie scene. The clay a potter uses comes from the earth. The Genesis chapter 2 account of God's creation tells us that God created humanity from the dust of the earth. In Hebrew, the word for ground is Adamah, and the word for man is Adam. The word for man, mankind, is literally formed from the word for the ground, just as humanity is literally formed from the earth. Consequently, the metaphor of a potter who shapes us from the clay of the earth is particularly appropriate. This metaphor also helps us think of God's revelation of God's self to us in the new Adam, that is Jesus Christ. Like Isaiah, the children of Israel had gone many years since God had been revealed in a tangible way. God's revelation through the Exodus. But God had sent prophets to remind the children of Israel of God's revelation through the Exodus, but they were constantly seeking a new sign. Through Jesus Christ, the new Adam, God sent a new revelation of God's self to the children of Israel and to us, Jesus Christ, who was born in human flesh, became incarnate, literally embodied as we are. God revealed God's self in a unique and amazing way, in a tangible way that could be touched. This surprising revelation was not the earth-shattering display of power at Mount Sinai, but the birth of a child in humble circumstances. It again has been a long time since we've seen a new tangible sign of God's revelation to us. What are we to do? It would be so easy if God just shook a mountain for us. It'd be so easy if we could place our fingers in the nail holes and feel where the spear penetrated his side. Like Isaiah, we want a tangible sign. Like Elijah, we want a tangible sign. Like Doubting Thomas, we want a tangible sign. In the absence of new tangible signs, what are we to do? How are we to deal with a hidden God? One way we seek God is through remembrance of times when God has been particularly apparent. In today's scripture passage, Isaiah remembered God's mighty acts at Mount Sinai. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. End quote. We can relate to that, can't we? It seems like a long time since God has rattled a mountain. Wouldn't it be easier if God revealed God's self in an Old Testament way of power? Apparently Elijah thought the same thing, yet realized God was there in the silence. Can we find God in silence? How can we exercise the power of remembrance? We remember the God of Exodus when we read Scripture. We remember the God of Jesus Christ when we go to the font for the waters of baptism. We remember God, our Redeemer, when we go to the table for bread and cup. These sacraments are tangible reminders of God. We also remember God who came to us in a form that finite minds can understand when we watch for the coming of the Christ child during Advent. We also remember God when we keep silent and trust God to work among us in new and surprising ways, knowing that God is present. We remember God when we wait and trust God to mold us like clay. Trusting God, whose first language is silence, moves us from only seeing God in acts of power to sensing God's presence everywhere. We affirm that God is omnipresent or all present, but we only live into that affirmation if we're able to trust God's presence without tangible signs. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian theologian and martyr. He discovered that the, quote, "the hiddenness of God is not a cloak of humility, temporarily covering an awesome, powerful glory, but rather is a reflection of the divine character, a divine determination to relate to the world through the vulnerable path of non-coercive love and suffering, service, rather than through domination and force," end quote. We can see this image of God in Isaiah too. As a potter lovingly molds her clay, Isaiah calls on Israel to be malleable in the hands of God. Likewise, it is up to us to remember that we are clay in the hands of God. In the season of Advent, Christians imaginatively enter a time of waiting for the Christ child, who comes as both God revealed and hidden in human form, who comes not to inaugurate an apocalyptic cleansing, but to reveal the power of the powerless in His self-giving on the cross. In so doing, Jesus reveals the will of the Father, who is eternally, patiently molding and shaping the clay of creation into a new Jerusalem. This image of God who lovingly shapes us is our hope. To hear the voice of Isaiah is to proclaim that Advent is more than a time to hear promises about God. Advent becomes a season of attentiveness to the presence of God already among us. Our future is in the hands of the loving potter. May we live our days feeling those loving hands ever guiding and shaping us. The clay. Amen. Having heard the word of God,